Oh, you see, look at that. Like our Twitter war. You're drinking out of an American cup?
Canada Dry.
So much more Canadian than you, eh?
Shut up.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, the Caps are back from California. They come back winning three games for the first time in franchise history. All three California games in regulation. And then they come home and take the night off. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm feeling better than last week. I was a little under the weather last week. I still am not fully recovered, but I'm doing my best. Rest up my voice for the podcast. But let's talk about
it. As you should.
The Caps went to California. They came away with three wins. First time in history, like I said, that they did this all in regulation. Kind of a stinker against Columbus, but let's talk about those three California games. This is history making for this team. And what does it mean for this team to go on the road, go all the way across the country to the other coast, and win in regulation for all three games?
Well, I think that it was really important for the mentality of the team, and not that it was necessarily struggling, and maybe even more so the mentality of the fans than the players themselves, in terms of showing that this is not the team necessarily of years past that would just fold when things don't go their way. They went on their California road trip, which tends to go, you know, not bad, not great, kind of just middle of the road.
I mean, it's rough for anybody, not just hockey players, but to go across the country, especially if you're on doing it for work. I mean, it's a time change, it's a temperature change. I mean, it's difficult, but
not necessarily an unwelcome thing right now, the temperature change.
That's true. I mean, we are expected to get a little bit of snow tomorrow here in Maryland, but it is a bit difficult going from coast to coast and then being asked to play a very physical game. It can take your toll on you.
I mean, that's definitely true. I feel like that's part of the planning and all of that. It comes down to actually behind the scenes people in terms of when they fly out, when are they landing, how much rest are they getting, make sure the players get their naps in before a game. So I think going out and being able to not only be able to go out and win all three in regulation, but having two of those being back to back in San Jose and LA, which, given my understanding of California, is not necessarily the best. I believe those two cities are relatively near each other, so it's not like, right? Am I wrong?
They're somewhat close, yeah.
I'm going to do it real quick.
Road trip.
No, I'm just going to Google in terms of how far is the drive from the Sharks Stadium, SAP, so I can remember the name of it.
It's called an arena.
What?
It's called an arena, not a stadium.
It says SAP Center.
Yeah.
Arena stadium is the same thing.
No.
Anyways,
stadium is outside without a cover.
Whatever, man. All right, no, it's still stadium. Anyways, what are they playing? The Staples Center, the LA Kings. I have to imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know what? They're not as close as I thought they were. Never mind. I felt like that would have been closer. It's about five, almost 6 hours driving.
Really?
Mind you, although right about now it's what 7:15 here. It's about 4:15. Probably hitting traffic. Anyways.
That's kind of shocking. I thought they were a little bit closer than
that. I thought San Jose was close to LA. San Jose is actually, you know what it is? It's San Diego and San Jose. I get mixed up, I think, in terms of where they're located. San Jose is near San Francisco. Anyways, so it would have thought it made more sense because then they go in, they have a day off, and then they go and play against Anaheim. Anaheim is very close, obviously, next to LA. So it's kind of weird how the schedule worked out. But either way, it it worked for them because they were able to go out and beat San Jose 5-2 and then go play in L. I'm guessing that they either probably flew down just, you know, late night flight out of San Jose into LA, play the next day that night, probably then you get a night in LA, day in LA, hanging out, have a quick practice. Then you play and then you beat Anaheim 3-2. So it worked out pretty well. And then you come home and they're talking about in the game last night in terms of this Columbus game being a bit of a trap before. They're probably more focused on Boston right now going up against them Wednesday night at home.
Yeah, this is, I mean, one of the first times I've actually heard them talk about it on air, but some of the commentators calling it a trap game. Is that something that you hear very often?
Yeah, it's kind of when the team's not really paying attention. A lot of times you'll have those in a perfect situation like this where you're really focused on a different game that's upcoming. Where, and you know, a lot of times it's if you're going into a game against a rival or a team that you're really focusing on. And I think you see it almost in every sport. You know, baseball maybe less so because you have so many games in a row against the same team.
Right.
But I feel like in almost every other sport, football even probably not because there's so much of a gap between games. But I feel like in sports like hockey and basketball and soccer to some extent, you can have games that you're really not paying attention to the one that you're about to play. Almost in the front of your mind is the game, the next game you're going to play. Because that's the one that's really the one you're looking forward to, or that's the one that's really going to make a difference. And I think that's kind of what the Caps went into against Columbus. They just kind of had a, you know, they came off this road trip. They came back home, back to the friendly confines of their own homes and what is it called now? Capital One. And then they just kind of laid out a stinker against Columbus. But that's going to happen every once in a while. And, you know, we're not expecting them to win every game.
Oh, I am.
But, so, okay, well, the same people are realizing they're going to lose a game every once in a while. It's not the end of the world. You'd like for them to at least be a little bit more competitive, but you know, if they go into Boston and or not go into Boston, but go up against Boston at home and play the same way, then I think there's at least somewhat of a concern. It's not a, you know, everything, the world's coming to an end concern, but it's like, huh, all right, that's not good.
I guess it's kind of interesting saying this is a trap game. You're kind of looking forward to Boston. It is a nationally televised game, so you are kind of put under the spotlight. But Columbus, since the Stanley Cup run, has kind of had the Capitals' number, if you think about it. The last season, every time the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Caps kind of went up against each other, it always felt like Columbus had the upper hand, and they definitely did last night.
Yeah, Columbus definitely had felt like they were playing for more than the Caps were last night. Really, the Columbus game, I mean, I agree with, was it J.J. Regan? Or Regan? Anyways, he was on there talking with Al Kokin, and they were talking about the game, and it's just, it was kind of like a game where I felt like the Caps weren't giving their all, and I know it's a long season, it's one of the longest seasons in professional sports, at least in North America, and they just did not give an effort worthy of what they should have. But I'm not concerned. I think, you know, you're going to have these kind of stinkers every once in a while. It's such a long season. And like I said, if it's not one that happens again, you know, if they go up against Boston and they struggle and they play the same way, and then they go up against Tampa on Saturday in Florida and they struggle again, they're still playing poorly, you know, then there's room for concern. But if they go into those games and, you know, even if they lose, but they're putting in the effort that's required, that's different. I feel like that Columbus game was just kind of one where they're looking at going, yep, we're playing Columbus, but really it's Boston on Wednesday. They're, you know, the team that's, you know, second in the East, they're top of the Atlantic right now. They're the ones that we're kind of worried about.
And you brought up J.J. Regan during one of the intermissions. He actually did bring up a good point during the broadcast. I mean, people were kind of discussing whether or not this third line is for real or not. And I didn't realize it was such a short amount of time, but Carl Hagelin, Lars Eller, and Richard Ponick have kind of all three of them been all over the place with this team or injured in some way. And it's kind of interesting that they've only had like 30 minutes worth of time playing together. Now, that's your third line and have that little time and you're already over a quarter of the way through the regular season. You kind of are hoping these guys are gelling together a little bit better, but you've got Carl Hagelin, who's been on the shelf. You've got Lars Eller, who's been up on the second line because Backe's been hurt. And you've got Ponick, who was a new guy and also got hurt and kind of stifled his growth with this team. This third line is still very much in the I guess you want to say the honeymoon phase of being a line together. You really, you're still figuring stuff out.
What? I would hope if you're on your honeymoon, you already figured stuff out. You know, you probably should know the person pretty well at that point.
Hey, it was nice to meet you. I'm glad we got married.
Let's go ahead and go. So who are you really? I think the 30 minutes of ice time, I actually didn't catch that last night, but the 30 minutes of ice time is a big reason why that line hasn't really gelled yet. And I think to see these guys get some more ice time together, as long as they can stay healthy, is only a benefit to this team one way or another. Either it starts to work out and they're playing really well together, and then you realize that you really have something here, or it doesn't work out and you have to figure something else out. But the reality is you're going to get an answer one way or another. And just giving them more ice time together, as long as they can stay healthy, I think is a really big thing for this team.
I know I've been very, I don't know if judgmental.
You're not a fan.
But I've been hard on Richard Ponick. I'm expecting more from the guy. I was the same way with Lars Eller when he came in. Richard Ponick, he's a guy who's been in the league for a long time. I expected him to play a little bit better coming into this team. But for those three to kind of be all over the place, it's no wonder that they aren't gelling as quickly as you would hope. I mean, who's going to be able to do that? I mean, we're 2 months into the season and they've barely played together. Of course there's going to be some rust.
Well, yeah. I mean, so it's not necessarily the end of the world. They haven't gelled just yet. There's still plenty of time for them to do that, especially before the trade deadline. And it gives the team an opportunity to really see if they have something there, if they need to start looking around to bring in someone else to play on that third line, or, be it from the outside or from the fourth line or whatever they want to do. So if it was April and we're having this conversation, it's a bit of a different concern than right now.
Now, does that stifle the team? The fact that
doesn't seem to be.
That's true. I mean, look at the score sheet. But do you think that stifles the team from kind of growing the team as a whole if the third line isn't really working out as well as you'd hope? Because this Leipzig, Dowd, Hathaway line seems to be gelling and seems to be working really well. And, they're getting a little bit more time than the third, but it could be they've had more time together.
Well, I think some of it is they've had more time together. And the other part of it is they're just playing really well. And you want to, if you have a group of guys that are playing well together, there's no need to mess with it. And if anything, if they're producing, then why not give them more ice time? You're not keeping all of the pressure on three guys that are still kind of figuring out how to play together. And Eller and Hagelin should have more comfortability with one another, I think, than, now it's just figuring out how Ponick fits into the line. Mm-hmm. So, there's still time for them to figure it out. But if we're having the same conversation in 2 months, then you're like, this might be a problem. We might want to look into this a little more. When is the trade deadline?
Well, that's not till like,
I feel like we talk about this every once in a while, and I always forget. No, it used to be. NHL trade deadline 2020. Come on, Google. Monday, February 24th. Yeah, so if we're having this conversation in 2 months going – well, actually, it's probably when all of the trades are going to go down in 2 months, like 2 weeks before the trade deadline.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but it's kind of interesting. I thought that was really, really odd. We're this far into the season, and those guys have only played together for about 30 minutes. So,
thanks to – I mean, it's not like the team is doing – it's not like the coaching staff is being like, I don't think this is really going to work out. It's just been Ponick got hurt,
right?
And then what was it? Right about when he was going to come back, Hagelin got hurt. And you're like, well, guys, like, come on. Stop getting hurt. So they got time to figure it out.
Now, let's move on and talk a little bit about our captain, Alex Ovechkin. It's been the topic of conversation on this show for a couple seasons now of what's going to happen when his contract is up. And I've always been a guy saying if the NHL was not allowed to play in the Olympics, that he would take a year off and he would go to Russia and play with Russia in the Olympics because he wants a gold medal. Now, news has come out that Russia is banned from the next Winter Olympics. I don't think they can participate.
Wait, stop stealing my news from around the NHL.
But we have a Russian captain. We have to bring him up.
Fine.
But
cross it off the list.
Russia can't play in the next Winter or Summer Olympics. What does that do to Alex Ovechkin's contract negotiation? Does that give a little bit more power to the Capitals? I mean, I think he can technically still play, but he just can't play for Russia. What do you think? Is the ball now in the Capitals' court to kind of sign him a little bit easier? Is it easier, I guess?
Well, was it the Olympics? There's a summer. Wait, which Olympics is next?
The winter isn't until 2022. So I think the summer.
Oh, games, this summer is the summer games. Is this summer?
I believe so.
Right. Okay. I never
Olympics 2020. Right? Yes, are Friday, July 24th through Sunday, August 9th in Tokyo.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess they could have a team of the. We just looked this up before we started recording. It's the Olympic athletes from Russia. So they could have that I think each individual has to be cleared by like a panel of people
to prove that they weren't doping.
Yeah, that they're not a bunch of cheaters. So if they can do that, then I think, you know, there's a chance that, you know, they could get a team together of guys and actually go over and play in the Olympics. But I think there's a couple of different factors here. I think it'll depend on how close he is to breaking Gretzky's record. Is he going to be willing to give up a year of goal scoring, which may end up costing him that opportunity? The money probably isn't as big of a factor. And I think his comfortability with this organization and realizing that he is the greatest player to ever play for this organization and what that means, they're going to do everything they can to keep him around until he's ready to go home. And I think that these upcoming Olympics is not necessarily the last one. So we had 2022 and 2026, which is in 6 years. So he'll be 40. So I was actually talking with a dude on Twitter. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. Because I think he's a fan of the show. He listens to us from Nottingham, England.
Oh, wow.
Matthew Clifton at @mclifton_1. He was asking me originally if he thinks that the Caps will re-sign Ovechkin if he can't compete. Just kind of same thing you're asking. I think that he will not play in the next Olympics because he wants to break Gretzky's record. And then I think his contract will end when he's like 38, 39. Then he'll go back and play a season or two in the KHL and play in the Olympics in 2026. That's what I would speculate that he'll do, is that he'll have the chance to go and beat Gretzky's record and then go home and play and get to play in the Olympics one way or another.
I mean, who knows what the future will hold. Is Ovi going to be the same Ovi at 40? I mean, he looks pretty great now.
Dude, probably. Like, maybe a little less hitting, maybe a little bit less goal scoring. Well, in the NHL, but in the KHL, he's probably would still, you know.
At 60, he's still going to be the best in the KHL.
Freaking KHL.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's 34 now. I don't know when his birthday is. He's not.
It's in, I think, September. It's at the beginning
September,
of the season.
Yeah. So I could see him signing a 4 or 5 year deal with the Caps and that being his last contract with them for his career. And then he spends his last couple years in the KHL in his like late 30s, early 40s.
Wow. It's
and goes and plays in the 2026 Olympics.
It's kind of crazy to think about right now that Ovi, who has been the face of this franchise for so many years, already is sort of on the back nine of his career. Now, he's still playing fantastic. He's still awesome, but he's definitely got less years in front of him than he's already played. That's kind of,
yeah, I mean,
that's crazy to think about.
Well, think about if he could have beaten Gretzky's record if it wasn't for two different lockouts.
Yeah.
That he had to deal with, a season and a half? So along those lines of lockouts. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he would be at in terms of goal scoring if he didn't have to deal with that. But no, I think he sticks around. He probably signs, maybe a 3 or 4 year deal because he still has one through next season. And then he goes back to Russia to play in the 2026 Olympics.
Yeah, so Russia's banned from 2020.
I don't think Russia's ban necessarily has anything to do with his negotiating.
I don't know.
He can still play.
He can
if he doesn't sign with the Caps, because he'll have to go. He'll go have to prove he'll pee in a cup, and they can show that he's not, you know, cheating.
Well, and the whole thing with I'm saying he would take a year off is if the NHL would allow players to go. Now the 2022.
I don't think they will.
I don't know, because I think our buddy Ryan brought this up on a show that he was a guest on. 2022 Winter Olympics are in Beijing, China. China is a huge market right now that a lot of people are trying to get into. The NHL has played some games, started seasons over in China. The NHL might be looking as a way of saying, hey, check out some of our players over to the Chinese audience. So they might be wanting to send some of their big guys over there to kind of make an impact, sell some jerseys, and sell some cable rights or something like that, or streaming rights to the Chinese audience over there. So I don't know. It could be interesting. Isn't there a KHL team from China?
I think there is one. I can look it up.
So they already are kind of interested in hockey.
Yeah, they have one team in China.
Right.
You know, I think Ryan has a good point. I think it's going to come down to the owners and what they're willing to – not even the owners, the liability. Because while it might be great for the league if, you know, Eichel and McDavid and those guys are over there playing, if one of them gets hurt and he misses the rest of the season, that owner is going to be pissed.
Right.
You know, I could see, is it Pegula up in, or however you say his name, up in Buffalo, or whoever the Oilers owner is. Like, I could see them being furious if they lose their one of their top players because of, you know, an exhibition contest. Something that they don't make money from. And the players are not, I mean, they would have to get some sort of insurance coverage, I feel like, in order for them to do this. And it would have to be from the Olympics, I would imagine. So there's still definitely a lot of red tape that they would have to get through before they're able to go and play in the Olympics.
All right, we'll see.
The liability, I think, is just too much.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. They might be like, hey, we could make billions of dollars with streaming rights if we are over here. It might be all right if somebody breaks a leg or something for us. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be where the money is. That's going to be the biggest cause, like you said, of whether or not they play is who's got the biggest chance of making the most dough. So, anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
We talk about Backstrom coming back?
We have not. We do have to bring that up. He did come back up against Columbus after missing, what, 8 games?
Yeah, he was out for about 8 games. He came back in the stinker against Columbus. Actually got a goal and an assist in his first game back, so well done to him.
Do we know what was ailing him?
He didn't like his haircut. No, I don't know.
I get it.
They never reveal, didn't see it.
It's not until after the season.
I know he does have migraine issues.
Right.
I don't think that would keep you out for 8 games. And so I thought that was what first when they like held him out of a game, and I was like, oh, maybe it's like migraines, you know, something happened there. But the fact he's out 8 games, you know, something to definitely be concerned about. But then again, his thumb was like, I don't know, falling off, and they won the Stanley Cup. So
that's true.
You never really know. It's, you know, it's this part of the season. The interesting thing that would be nice to know is if this was a playoff run, would he still have been out?
I don't know. All rules are off when it's a playoff run.
That is definitely true. Other Caps news. John Carlson was named the NHL's first star for last week. He had 6 points in 3 games. Carlson making a serious play for that Norris trophy. The Caps loan defensive prospect Tobias Geiser to, and I'm not making this name up, EV Zug in Switzerland's National League. Now, he played 7 games in Hershey this season. And he got 1 assist in 41 games last season with Hershey. He was drafted in the 4th round in 2017. So I don't know if this necessarily means that it's the end of his opportunity to play in the Capitals organization, but I definitely think there might be some question marks there in regards to what his future may be in the NHL. Last little bit of news is there's a number of KHL players will represent their countries at the Euro Hockey Tournament, which is coming up starting on, what is it, Thursday? It goes Thursday the 12th to the 15th, so Thursday, Friday, to Sunday. Former Capitals, Jakub Jerebek and Dmitry with a J at the end of Dmitry, Yashkin, they will both play for the Czech Republic. Now, I tried to go through the list of other players, and I didn't catch anybody else, I believe, that had an association with the Capitals, but I could have been wrong. Did you catch anybody else?
Those are the only two that I saw.
Okay. So, yeah, those two guys will be playing, representing the Czech Republic this weekend.
Well, good for them. I mean, still playing, even though they're at the NHL level.
They're both playing in the KHL. You know, it's nice to have a spot for guys that aren't necessarily going to make it in the NHL as full-time guys that want to keep playing, and so they have the opportunity to go over and play in Russia. Just the fact that people thought the KHL was going to be a competitor to the NHL, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. They really enjoyed that lockout year. That was the best one for them.
That's true. They got a lot of big-name players.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but former Capital Madison Bowie actually got put on waivers. No one claimed him, and he got sent back to the AHL from the Detroit Red Wings.
I did not see that. I'm looking at it right now.
They said that he has become stagnant, and it's not showing any growth in his game. So that's kind of a bummer for Madison Bowie.
Yeah, I'm looking at an article right now, and the Detroit News says he was surprised and disappointed after they put him on waivers. But, you know, hopefully this is a little bit of a kick up the backside so that he can kickstart his career and be back in Detroit soon.
And I don't know if you saw this as well, but Riley Barber, former Capitals prospect, is actually going to be playing for the Montreal Canadiens tonight.
Really? Good for him.
He got brought up from the AHL, and it looks like he's going to be playing for Montreal. So good for him. He's wanted to play for a while. Didn't think that he was going to get anything in Washington, so moved on and, you know, went back to the AHL. But here he is. Let's see what he can do against I don't know who the Montreal Canadiens are up against tonight.
Montreal is currently losing to Pittsburgh 1-0 in the first. Let's see how Barber's doing. I always kind of was hoping Barber was going to make it.
I always thought he was. He was captain of his World Juniors team for the U.S.
I think he's on the ice right now, according to if this is what I think this is. He's played 3 minutes, 47 seconds. He's got one shot on goal. Good for you, Mr. Barber. He's only 25. He's got a chance.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's the past week in Caps hockey.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go down on the farm, so stick with us right here on What the Puck. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are ready to go down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Lehigh Valley and an overtime win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears are currently fourth in the Atlantic Division, 6 points off leader Providence. So the Atlantic Division is pretty tight right now. And a number of wins in a row certainly can propel you. So hopefully next week we're talking about how they're first in. That would be fantastic. They're actually going to be back at it with back-to-back home games starting Saturday against Bridgeport with Sunday's game against Lehigh Valley. So they can't go into first before we talk next because that could only get you a total of 4 points if they win both games. But hopefully they just keep jumping up, keep getting some wins, and doing well there in Hershey. In other Bears news, Caps prospect Beck Malinston, who recently was playing with the Caps, he's been suspended 3 games by the AHL for elbowing Lehigh Valley's Mark Friedman. It's the most generic sounding name. Mark Friedman. Anyways, he elbowed him in the jaw during the third period of that game. That's not nice, Beck. Beck. We can call him Beck, right? Because the musician. I feel like we can just call this guy Beck, too. I feel like that's appropriate. Anyways, you don't elbow people. As we learned, Evander Kane, it's not very nice. Although, I guess maybe it's different. Dude was bloodied, I think is what I'm reading here. What's Beck's elbow made out of? Like, vibranium? I don't understand. Anyways, he gets to sit out for 3 games for, you know, being a jerk.
It says that he backed into Friedman and threw the elbow directly into his face. So, I mean, that's intent to injure. That's not cool, man. So, if you want to make it to the NHL level, you can't do that kind of crap.
Unless you're Evander Kane.
Yes.
Or one of like the four other guys who got in trouble for elbowing people. Why did that not work? Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win over Florida. They're currently first in the South Division, 5 points up on that second place, Florida. They'll be back at it with four games before our next show. They're playing as we speak at the North Charleston Coliseum against Orlando. Let me refresh this page here to see that there's still no score. Oh, it's intermission. So after one, there's no score. That explains why it had nothing changed. They then head on the road to Norfolk on Friday before heading back home for back-to-back games starting Saturday against Greenville and then Jacksonville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff. Coach Dan's going to catch us up. So, Coach, what's going on around the NHL?
Let's start with some players misbehaving as Ottawa forward Brady Tkachuk was fined $2,486.56 for cross-checking Philly forward Scott Laughton. That's just not nice, and he gets to his wallet gets ever so slightly lighter as a result of that. Dallas fired head coach Jim Montgomery, actually today being Tuesday, due to an act of professional misconduct, though it is not believed to have anything to do with the recent allegations against other former and current coaches. Now, my guess is that this has something to do with drugs or sex. Because if he didn't beat someone up and he violated some sort of company policy, it's either he's getting high or jacked up on something, or he's hooking up with like hookers. That's my guess, but he's done something that would have put the organization in a bad light and they decided to get rid of him as opposed to having to deal with whatever the fallout would have been. Now, general manager Jim Neal stated that it is very clear this cannot be tolerated without saying what it was, and therefore we have relieved Jim Montgomery of his duties immediately. It is an honor and privilege to work in the NHL. He went on to say, this decision was not based on on-ice performance, and there is no connection to any past or present players. I'm saying hookers.
It's a little weird that this would all happen after the Board of Governors meeting that Gary Bettman came out about yesterday.
Well, it apparently has nothing to do with that, though that is a nice segue into what I'm talking about next. But it is a little weird. I'm telling you, man, he got caught with some hookers. that's got to be it. Or he's, you know, I don't know what else he's snorting cocaine and he got caught.
Well, who isn't in the NHL?
Yeah, he's hanging out with Kuznetsov.
Yeah,
maybe he was giving other teams like information on Dallas, which would make sense since he's the head coach.
Was he filming his opponents without them knowing?
No, he's not the Patriots. You know, he's not the Patriots. But yeah, that one's weird, and I'm calling it now, hookers. I'm sure we'll eventually find out what happened, and if it is hookers, go me. Anyways, that sounds weird. Bettman came out and said that the NHL will not tolerate abusive behavior. No kidding. He announced that the league plans to raise awareness among team personnel and players. As you stated, the NHL Board of Governors had a meeting. They are fully behind the NHL's plan, and the NHLPA, who was consulted, is a, quote, willing participant. Okay. I mean, really, just don't be a dick to people and problem solved. That's, you know, kind of my thought on it. You stole my bit about Russia being given a 4-year ban at all major sporting events by the World Anti-Doping Agency. This just came down recently. This includes the Olympics, Paralympics, and the World Cup, as well as a number of the other events. Russian athletes who are clean are allowed to participate under the same rules as the previous Olympics, where they were the Olympic athletes from Russia. I was reading, because we were talking about this, was it earlier or was it before the show, about how there's a tournament coming up in St. Petersburg, which I believe is the Euros. That does not count because it's not FIFA, because it's UEFA. It's a different governing body. So that is still scheduled to happen, and Russia will still be able to compete. They're not going to win because Russia's soccer team is not that good. You know, but they can still host the thing and make some money for the country would be likely what's going to happen. And finally, the 2019-2020 rivalry series is set to kick off this Saturday. This series was set up last year of multiple games between the U.S. and Canada's women's teams. Two games are going to be in December, which are this Saturday in Hartford and next Tuesday in Moncton, New Brunswick in Canada. Then there are three games in February in Victoria, British Columbia, Vancouver, also in British Columbia, and then in Anaheim. One of these things is not like the other.
How are none of these games in D.C.? I don't understand.
Well, I get how it's not in D.C. Well, they get really good ratings, though, in D.C., don't they?
Yeah.
For the women's games? I don't know. Maybe they couldn't book a venue. Maybe they just wanted to keep it kind of how it was on the, with, you know, because Victoria is basically essentially outside Vancouver, then go to Vancouver and then go down to Anaheim for some reason. But no, I would, a game in New York, a game in Detroit, in Boston, I felt like one of those would have made more sense than Anaheim.
Well, we're constantly, I mean, I guess because Anaheim already has a rink and everything like that. But if you're looking for a city without a hockey team, and maybe only a 10,000 seat arena, Baltimore, right by the nation's capital, could have done it right there. They're
give them an ECHL team.
You know, it would have been fine. I mean, the last time they had a game up here, they kept melting the ice for some reason. But hey, you know, we're not the perfect city.
God, that ice was so bad. That wasn't that anything to do with the city. That just had to do with the fact that the arena is 40 million years old.
Yes, that's true. But I actually got to tell you, this rivalry series I really enjoyed last year, so I'm happy to see it come back. It sounds like it's a lot of new rosters. I don't know a lot of these players, so I'm going to be very interested to see. And the great thing is, if you're a fan, you can watch them. So they're going to be – the one on Saturday the 14th will be on NBC Sports, and then the rest are on the NHL Network. So plenty of chance to watch hockey. This is a great rivalry, and the women's U.S. and Canada teams always put on a great show. So I'm definitely going to be tuning in.
What network is it on?
It's on NBC Sports for the one on Saturday.
What time is that game?
7 p.m.
Oh, right, because the Caps are actually hosting a viewing party this Saturday at Holton Arms in Bethesda. That's a school for anyone who doesn't know. And U.S. Olympian and Caps, not spokesperson. What's the word I'm looking for here, Brandon? Help me out.
Representative?
Yeah, well, that's not the... Yeah, that's a better word than I was thinking, but it's not actually her title. Ambassador. There it is. And like I said, U.S. Olympian Haley Skrupa will be there for a Q&A at 6. I think doors open at 5:30. The game starts at 7, and I think they're playing pickup at 9:30.
That's cool.
I don't know if the pickup thing is right. Maybe I misunderstood what I was reading, but I was like, really? That's kind of interesting how they do that. Holton Arms is like just north of like downtown Bethesda, so good luck finding a place to park. But, yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff when I actually have a chance to be on my phone and do stuff when my kids are taking up all my time. I'm only talking about Caps hockey, Arsenal Football Club, back in the win column. Thank you, finally. God, they're terrible this season. As well as Bills football. Dude, I'm telling you, y'all got lucky.
Oh, sure.
On Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Now, dude, look, the Bills are a year ahead of where they should be right now. Okay, they almost beat the Patriots earlier this season if the Patriots hadn't cheap-shotted Josh Allen, knocked him out of the game. And they held the Ravens offensively. For the most part,
I will give you that. That was definitely one of Lamar's toughest games to win.
Sorry, Bills team's coming. The Bills team's coming around, man.
They're legit. I'll give it to them.
Well, it took them like 20 years.
Yeah. I will say, watching that game, I did love the fans that had the giant buffalo wings as hats. That was hilarious.
Now, I have to admit, I'm relatively new to following the Bills. It's my dad's team. He's from outside Buffalo. And I just can't do it anymore with the Skins. Not while Bruce Allen is there. That guy is just such a D-bag. I can't do it. So once he's gone, you know, not that I'm going to drop following the Bills or anything. I'm wearing my Josh Allen jersey next time we record. But yeah, sometimes I'm on the Twitter talking about the Bills as well. But somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of information and interesting things about the Washington Capitals, as well as whatever else that pops into Brandon's head. He might throw it up there. He's over there nodding, there. Everybody.
I'm not going to throw up on the Facebook.
No, that was my kid last night. He was throwing up after I gave him a bath, like right after.
Projectile?
No. It just kind of came out, but like really irritating, but I'm impressed by his comedic timing. I do have to say. I do have to give him credit for that. But somehow that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, I believe you have another podcast you might want to tell people about the team that got lucky on Sunday.
Yeah, the team that won and beat the Buffalo Bills. Soundly.
Luckily. Soundly, my... No!
I do a show about the Baltimore Ravens called The Call. You can check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast as well. Me and my buddy Josh talk about Ravens games coming up, and we're going to probably talk... we know we're talking at least a little bit in January because they already cashed their ticket for the playoffs. They are playoff bound. Now it's just looking for that number one spot at this point. So if you do want to get into football, or if you are a Ravens fan, make sure you check out The Call. You can hear my voice twice a week. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that? And you don't want to hear that.
I'm raising my hand because it's just put out on Twitter that for the St. Louis Blues, goal scored, Troy Brower.
Ah, Brower power. Way to go.
The Brower and, Ranger has scored.
Him and Nathan Walker on the St. Louis Blues, former Capitals.
Yeah.
So we do this show for free, and you listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about the games until we talk again. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, rivalry night, December 11th, the Capitals are up against the Boston Bruins. That game is national on NBC Sports, and you can watch that at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday the 14th, the Caps go to Tampa Bay up against the Lightning. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on ESPN Plus. And then on Monday, December 16th, the Capitals go to Columbus, and they're up against those Blue Jackets. You can watch that on the NHL Network or locally on NBC Sports Washington. And don't forget about the U.S. versus Canada women's rivalry game. That is on Saturday the 14th at 7 o'clock. Flip in between commercials between NBC Sports and NBC Sports Washington to watch U.S. versus Canada and Caps versus Tampa Bay. But, hey, that's kind of interesting. It's Columbus, and then a week later, Columbus again, this time on their home turf in Ohio. What does that mean for the rivalry here? Is Columbus going to be recharged, or is the Caps? Wow, that's weird. Check that out. So on the 9th and 16th, it's Columbus and Columbus. On the 14th and 21st, it's Lightning and Lightning. Same, just 1 week later. It's like...
that is weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then they got Columbus 3 weeks in a row. Columbus on the 27th.
Who made the schedule this year?
Getting those Columbus games out of the way quick.
What is happening?
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I'm just seeing this. This is crazy. You got Columbus three times this month. You've got Boston twice this month, and you've got Tampa Bay twice this month.
That is weird.
You're getting very familiar. If there's some bad blood in any of those games, man, you're going to be looking for a receipt in the next game in just a week or so. Holy cow. That's interesting.
It's definitely weird.
All right. Well, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening to us. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.